Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
Now funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Giants. I'm Tom Holly. This is Matt Weber. S&P futures up $1.75. Dow futures up 20. NASDAQ futures up 5. So very slow to the upside this morning. We're happy to report nobody blasting people into Kennedy this morning, so we actually could get in here, which is nice.
That's always nice. Yeah. You know, thank you for the folks for not shooting each other on the expressway.
Although there is a police action over on the west side somewhere. There has to be at least one stagecoach shooting another stagecoach per night. Or maybe the Indians back stealing stagecoaches? Were you shooting out of stagecoaches at them like in the movies? Or what's going on?
About that. All I know is that the one place you should feel safe is in your car. I mean, it's relatively safe anyway.
Yep.
From gunfire anyway. And now that's not even the case.
Oh, this is one day after the baby got clipped on the south side. It's still hanging for his life at Christ, right? Or either there or in Chicago or someplace. Nothing seems to bother these people, does it? There is no example.
I think it bothers the normal people, but the gangbangers,
right.
I don't
think. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I don't. You're right. Nothing seems to bother them.
Kevin, how are you?
No, it was interesting to listen to you guys discussing that yesterday, and when you started discussing, you got into culture a little bit about living different places and what becomes normal as you were talking about. You know, what kind of person grows up to think that kind of behavior is okay? I think you got into it with Lou some.
Yep, oh, we did.
And what was interesting is that Tuesday night I was talking about culture in the corporate culture sense in the business ethics class, and I started showing a series of pictures to the class and said, just from looking at it, describe the culture. And that was the exercise, and so I showed them, Venice Beach. I showed them a whole bunch of places where you just look and you go, oh well, that's different. And I get that. I gave them three Chicago pictures. So I showed a outdoor restaurant on the Gold Coast, and then I showed a neighborhood restaurant, just a standard neighborhood. It was actually a Jamaican place, but so it was very colorful and interesting.
Is there a Jamaican neighborhood?
A picture of just three women, one holding a baby, standing watching the police process what looked to be a murder scene with everything taped off on the south side. I had one African American woman chime in. She goes, "Oh, that's my neighborhood." that's right. And the point is that what becomes normal to some people in the way they live, what becomes normal to someone who lives on the Gold Coast is that scene. And it's hard to relate to anything else. And what becomes normal to someone who grows up in a neighborhood where the cops are always around processing some kind of crime scene, walking somebody out in cuffs, where there's always that yellow tape line to keep people away, you almost become numb to it. From a cultural standpoint, you become so numb I guess the expression that the alcoholics anonymous people use, I may be knee deep in poop, but at least the smell's familiar.
Yeah,
it applies here, and it. So the cycle becomes, what's normal to you anymore, and how do you break that cycle? How do you make something else normal to people?
Well, the theme I was sort of on, and I've kind of been on for a little while, and this all happened Well, you know, Kevin, I always tend to look at things from, you do this when, you know, when I learned how to do this, actually, is when you started doing, whenever there was a project at the three places I worked before I became a trader, I was always the guy, because I had the University of Chicago education. If there was a project of any kind, if you were buying this, buying that, or if it was a rail car project, I always got the job of doing what they call a sensitivity analysis. Said, okay, what bad could happen here? Well, these are all the assumptions. What bad could happen? It's which meant that you really had to turn the whole approach around. Instead of saying, we're going to do this, and this is going to work, and boy, this thing looks gorgeous when it comes out, and blah, 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 this building's going to be a winner. But sitting there and saying, no, it's not. And you totally come from the opposite end. And it's an interesting exercise. But this is odd, this whole thing going on. When you read, like, kind of history of, and there's always been police, and there's always been, you know, no good nicks in the world. Usually not very many in a society, hopefully not. But there's always been a few that just can't seem to get along with other people. And whatever, you know, if these are the rules, they're going to say they're not my rules. But somewhere along the line, society has always been able, even if they got ridiculously fierce about it, like they do in Singapore and Saudi Arabia and some places, the government, or lack of a better term, has always been able to, quote, deal with it. Now, maybe they didn't deal with it in the American fashion, you know, cut people's hands off and things like that, but they've been able to, quote, deal with it. And and you don't really see a whole lot of civilized places throw their hands up. And now there's places in South America for some reason that have never come to grips with it. I mean, the amount of murders, even in good times in Venezuela, are worse than Chicago. I mean, there's other areas of the world that they just are, you know, I guess it's like what you're saying, it's normal. But in places like the U.S., where there is a government, there are layers of government, there are people that have, there are laws, there are courts, usually, enough, usually is a slippery word, there's enough, people just get tired of it, and whatever they have to do, they do. You know, if you needed 1,000 people chasing Bonnie and Clyde, one day you got, you know what I'm saying? But in this country, we're starting to get to this point where they look to see who it is, whether they care about you or not. You know, if it's somebody on the Gold Coast, wife gets raped, you can rest assured that the police chief has the call from the mayor, and you better get this straight, because you believe the taxes we get out of that place. I mean, there will be no stone unturned. And I hate to say this, but I will. God help you if you shoot a policeman. They drop everything else to find that guy. Not that anybody should ever shoot a policeman. I know that. My dad was a policeman, so I know what I'm saying. But the amount of, but yet, all of a sudden we as a society have gotten immune to some of these areas. And when Audrey had a friend who had the wedding, 25 year anniversary down on the south side, and I said, all right, let's drive around, because I got the car that looks like the Secret Service with the, so people think people in there are policemen anyway. So I just drove around for a little bit, not a lot.
All I need is the basher arm on it, like,
yeah, need something. I need the machine gun up top. But it didn't. Of course, I saw the obligatory gangbangers driving around, and I saw the couple that look like drug houses and the empty lots. But the thing that struck me, Kevin, is all the people that are still trying to live there, real people that have you know. And I'm sitting there going, what disservice are we doing to these people? Nobody cares if this guy's wife gets raped. Nobody cares if his kid gets killed, and yet. Yeah, so how you could just let an entire, now maybe the community is, quote, at fault because they don't help the police, or that's an excuse. I don't know. I'm not there. But I tell you what, Kevin, it really sucks. It really sucks that you just, oh, there's the gang, there's a drug dealer wearing red in the middle of the street. Why should I have that guy in front of my house if I live there? And you know, I'm afraid to call the police? Yeah, I'm afraid, because they're not going to move him out of there. And maybe they might even tell him who called. Something seriously wrong.
Or that they'll know who called. They'll know darn well who called.
Well, somehow.
And come back. So either way, you don't, you know, it's problematic. And yeah, I think as a society, we've just taken a containment approach. Well, as long as we can just keep it there, keep it in those neighborhoods, then we're okay. You know, we can't, and maybe that's surrender. Maybe it's the most practical thing we can do. I don't know. I just hate to think we're there.
I think the mayor, the police chief, should go should go have dinner once a month with one of the real people. We say real people, law-abiding people trying to go to school, trying to do, just go sit there in that black and have dinner there one night. I bet the food's good. And just say, well, God, you know, no, let me get this straight. You can't walk, we can't walk to the corner. There isn't a saloon anywhere. Got to help you, because you imagine what a disaster that would be. There's no food stores. It's an absolute desert in the middle of the city. And yet we don't seem to be able to...
There is so much that comes with that capitulation. And you're right, you don't have the, you know, the stores. So now what's your access to, you know, for groceries and things like that? And it's, you know, that's all part of a bigger, broader subject about how challenging it is just to be poor.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because everything is, everything that you do in life is extra work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the...
going to get groceries is extra work, because you can't just go somewhere in the neighborhood anymore. And if you don't have reliable transportation, and you have to rely on the CTA, well, good luck with that.
Well, I don't see... I mean, you're always talking about... And I don't know how you do this, but or maybe people don't have the time to read. You know what, Kevin? Maybe people don't want to read. I mean, when I say read, obviously we have all kinds of people listening to the show that help us out, pointing us to places where there's good stories and so forth. By and large, I don't really see a whole lot of journalism that, for instance, the other night I ran into my lawyer buddy at the Club Lago, where Greg and I will stop once in a while because he lives right down the block. It's an attorney hangout, so you get interesting views of the world in there. guy was saying that he, I guess, are they doing this in high schools now? You have to do 4 8-hour community service every year in some of these schools in order to graduate?
Some of them, yeah.
Well, anyway, I guess this guy's kid goes to St. Ignatius, and if you're... Well, here's the part that my mother would have been so pissed off at. If you're under 16, the parents got to go with them. So if you're a parent, your sentence 8 hours. Not that he goes. It's not that it's a bad thing. It's just, you know, when you got 4 other kids, it's kind of hard to drive somewhere and be in a food kitchen for 8 hours on a Saturday. But
right, you have to make time for it.
Yeah, but he says the changes in the last few years are the food kitchens used to be all the street people and poor people. He goes now. A boatload of the tables are just regular old people lined up because they just went to the, you know, part of the reason they just went to the prescription drug place and blew 700 hours.
Well, and that may be part of it, and the other part of it is it's social, and there aren't any places you can go safely. In some parts of the city, there aren't any places you can go safely and be social.
Well, that's true, too.
We have a local grocery chain. It's very, very popular, and they have lots of sites called it's Martin's Grocery Stores or Martin's Supermarkets. And if you walk into Martin's at 9 o'clock any morning, they have this section called the Side Door Deli where they you can get coffee and donuts and sandwiches and all kinds of stuff, and you can get stuff to take out. And you know, it's sort of like the hot food buffet at Whole Foods, only more reasonably priced. And they'll push all the tables together, and there'll be, I don't know, a dozen retired people who get together every morning and have coffee and a donut or something else, and just talk for an hour or two. And that's, you know, that's the social life. That's the day in, day out social life. So at the food kitchen, you're probably getting a certain amount of that too, even if people can't afford it, because there isn't any place else to go. There isn't any place safe to go.
My mom's gang used to go to the White Castle on 95th Street. 10 of them would show up every morning and with a bunch of newspapers and a few of them all read the
paper. And at that age, that'll keep you regular.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they would have the coffee. They liked the White Castle.
Nothing to loosen you up like a little White Castle.
I don't think they were pounding slides at 8 in the morning, but the...
Okay.
But you know what? You never know. Some of the new slides, but I tell you what, usually it's not a commercial for slides, but when they say, like, hot cheese, I mean, obviously, I grew up dominated by the Italian side of my family, so I like spicy foods, but... When you go to a Wendy's and they talk about a hot cheeseburger or something or a hot chicken, it's not hot at all, you know, to me. But tell you what, White Castle, there's got to be some hunks of the population to try the new one that's even hotter than the jalapeno cheese and go, whoa, this is for real. But you don't normally, where I'm coming with this, and I always start in the middle of the story, is when I think that when you McDonald's comes out with a new product, they're really more concerned that nobody dislikes it versus anybody likes it. Is that true, Kevin? So you're really not going to get a distinctive taste, because when you do, you know, half the world doesn't like it, type of thing.
Yeah, you don't want it. You want it to be inoffensive,
yes,
first. And the other thing is that you need a place like McDonald's needs to know that when you walk into a McDonald's anywhere, a quarter pounder with cheese, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be exact same thing.
So and so you do play a little bit of lowest common denominator there.
Matter of fact, it doesn't. My brother, who loves brewing beer, and does a lot of research and a lot of...
And does a darn fine job, too.
But, you know, if you are, say, like Coors, I think still does not brew any beer outside their place. But like Budweiser does. And my brother says the hardest part is making it all taste the same, especially if you're using water from different areas. Because the chemistry involved in getting all the water, which is the main ingredient, obviously, in beer, to get the one in St. Louis with the water essentially comes out of the Mississippi River, to taste the same as the one in Newark, to taste the same as the one in Carolina, is a real job. Because the other ingredients you can sort of, they're sort of the same, but the water is not. So you have to make sure that, and he goes, that's why Coors, they were gonna make another brewery, I believe, in Virginia or South Carolina or someplace. And I think they just made it a bottler, Kevin. Where they, because my brother, this is a long, long time ago, because he's been working with us, since 87, but he was with GATX, that makes railroad cars. Matter of fact, interesting story, he was on the fast track. This is my brother, Dan, who's the president of PTI. Good guy, great with clients.
Gotta have somebody in that business that clients like.
And is a good guy, yeah. so he was on the GATX's fast track, which means that they put him for like 2 months on the factory work, then he was 2 months. You know, companies used to do that with guys that they really thought. I mean, Dan, you know, CPA, University of DePaul University, MBA, so it's not like he's a schlump. So they said, okay, this guy's on the fast track. Well, he was out in Colorado, the Coors place, when they were designing these cars. Coors wanted cars where they could leave, tank cars. They could leave Coors with the beer at 35 degrees. And no matter what, no matter if it was 100 degrees all the way to Virginia or zero all the way to Virginia, the beer inside was still going to be between 30 and 40. How's that for an engineering challenge? And they did. They did. They put two layers.
Made them in the giant thermos bottles.
They basically put it in a, you're exactly right. They put it, well, better, because thermos, I think, just has air. This, I believe, has serious insulation between the two. It's a double hull, for lack of a better term, double canister, and there's probably 6 inches of super high-end insulation virtually every spot. So it can be 5 below 0 when that thing leaves the plant in Coors, and 2 days later it pulls into Virginia and it's still 30 degrees. It only dropped like 5 degrees. But anyway, they had a skybox at the old football field. And Maddie's not old enough to remember before Maddie's time. Remember the guy that winged a snowball out of the skybox and landed next to the kicker and he muffed the kick?
Vaguely.
It was a playoff game or something.
As you say it, I'm saying, yeah, I think I do remember.
Well,
there
was snow and people were kind of winging snowballs because the field was a lot closer to the stands. And it was Miles High Stadium, right? The old Mile High?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So the kicker goes to kick the thing. The snowball lands like right next to the football. The guy like putzes the kick. Well, that Dan goes, this guy had a terrific arm. He goes, it came out of the skybox next to there. This guy makes a snowball. He goes a long way. This guy, without any kind of warm up, this guy wings the thing like a couple hundred feet.
Nice
toss. He goes, to do that without tearing your shoulder apart, without warming up, was pretty unbelievable. Like who the guy was. But,
by the way, Chief Joe writes in, the way you make beer taste consistent, regardless of where it's produced, is to use a reverse osmosis process to remove local contamination.
He is correct.
That sounds right.
That's why when you buy ice now, pretty much it comes out of your own water system, and they use reverse osmosis. You know how I know that? It's because John Neal, who's the guest on Friday, he'll be on today. John Neal's stepfather was in the ice business, and he's the first guy to tell me about reverse osmosis. I said, "How the hell do you sell ice in Phoenix when you just basically pour the water out of the or the kitchen faucet. He goes, we got to use this reverse osmosis. It purifies the ice.
Interesting.
I don't know exactly what it is.
I always thought the way you made beer taste consistent was just drink a whole bunch of it, and those last few just taste about the same because you can't taste anything.
That's right.
That's why, yeah, you start with the expensive stuff, and then you end up drinking the old style, and it tastes fine.
Well, you know why you
yeah,
can't
it's
get...
it's good. Yeah, no problem.
here's a little known thing. You know why you can't get the really, really good ice when you and I were growing up, Kevin? Where you'd go up and...
Why?
We know where you'd actually get the 1-inch, 1.5-inch cubes that were perfectly clear. You'd go get those. If your parents were having a party, they'd always send you out for ice because the ice you'd bought was really good. That ice, in order to get it really clear like that and make it exactly like 1.5 by 1.5, whatever it was, you actually had to freeze blocks and then saw the block into the cubes. But no matter how thin the saw is, you're wasting too much. So guys stopped doing it. So there's no way you can buy that kind of ice that we used to get when we were kids. I mean, nobody has it anymore for that reason. Because you actually have to freeze the block and then cut it. Interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
So what...
always. You know, there's always little interesting tidbits about things. Nothing... You know, we always think of some of these all kinds of businesses. It's pretty simple. It's just the ice business, right?
Oh, yeah.
And there's always something more to it.
Well, you know, it's... Remember the poster the bar in South Bend. Everybody in the world is paid too much except you, and everybody else's job is easy except yours, you know, type of thing. In fact, most people's jobs
pretty
much are not
true, isn't it?
Yeah. So what we've got the massive politics. We've only got a couple of minutes here, Kevin. Then we're going to talk about other stuff when we come back. The politics of this Chinese deal. Where do you think is just a regular interested party, not necessarily a investor all day long like I am. In what inning do you think this is, and where do you think this comes out? I mean, if you were investing, would you say it's in the market already, not in the end of the market? What's the surprise? The thing falls apart, or the thing goes out, becomes a success? Where do you think the surprise?
It's probably about the seventh inning, and you're looking at trying to bring in your setup man.
Do you think the surprise is if it goes and we shoot up, or the surprise is it doesn't and we go down?
The surprise will be if it doesn't go.
I think so too. I think
there,
more is in the market.
There will be something. Will it be radically different from what we have now, or will it be? Will it just be trimming around the edges? I would imagine that in some subsections it'll be substantially different, and most of it's going to be no difference.
What do you think? They're ever going to get the key thing about, you know, in order for you to not steal intellectual property in the future, you're going to have to admit you did it in the past. Do you think they're going to do that?
I think they're going to try and do their best to tap dance around that.
Yeah, because that's a big sticking point, I think. I don't think anybody wants to admit to anything.
And I understand that.
Yeah, I do too.
I wouldn't want to admit to it either.
SB Futures up 2. NASDAQ Futures up 350. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3900. 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Matt Weber, and Mr. Kevin O'Neill as well. S&P Futures now up 450, a little bit of a rally here during the break. NASDAQ Futures up 1350, Dow Futures up 40. Around the rest of the world, we've got, over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 100.9%. FTSE up 26.4%. CAC around up 59.1%. We're not that strong. They probably a little bit chasing us yesterday, although we kind of sold off a little on the close as well. We're in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 239, under 21,000. 20,900, that's a full 1.1%. Shanghai down 37, 1.4%. Hang Seng down 531, 1.9%. So let's just say the run of the rest of the world is not consistent this morning. It's a very fair statement. Oil up 28 cents, 54.69. Brent up 41, 64.98. That spread is now $10.30, which continues to expand. Natural gas up 2 cents, 2.59. I'm going to say this is lower than it was last summer before this interesting winter even started, so that's bizarre. RBOB 151, up another penny. So that's up from 135 in probably 2 weeks, so you're going to be probably seeing that at the pump if you haven't already. Home heating oil up trading 198, up one cent. Gold on a drive here this morning, up 1320,
up $6. Silver up 10 cents. 1539 is 1320. I think it's about as high as we've seen that. Copper 279 up another 2 cents. So if you're a copper watcher, in the last week we've had copper up about 7 or 8 cents. It would lead you to be a little more enthusiastic regarding the China deal. Anyway, I never follow that much, but a lot of people really do. Anybody got for us, Trevi, Weather Sports?
Coming up on 37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a great start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. No issues coming in on the Edens. Same with the Kennedy. Eisenhower is probably our slowest moving expressway. As you approach the circle, definitely hit some slowdowns there, but no accidents to report. Stevenson looks okay. Dan Ryan, I-57 in the Bishop Ford, looking good too. No significant crashes in the area either. We're all quiet on the suburban tollways. As well as the expressways. Only area of concern is downtown Lake Street between Michigan Avenue and Stetson Avenue. There's a closure due to a movie filming that's going on, and that's going to last throughout the morning and into the early afternoon, but that's obviously very minor. Everything else looking good out there. Weather today, we're cold again. It was very mild and warm yesterday as we reached a high of 45. Today, our high will be just 25 with wind chills in the single digits. Right now, it is mostly clear as the sun's about ready to rise, and 13 degrees with a wind chill of -2. So it's a little different than yesterday. For our Phoenix listeners, beautiful day, partly cloudy skies with a high of 66. Right now it's mostly clear and 54. In sports, Blackhawks are back on track. They took care of business against the Devils 5-2 last night. Coyotes were shut out by the Blues 4-0. College hoops, Illinois, one of the hottest teams in the Big Ten as they've turned their season around, probably too little too late, but another nice win last night for the Illini. They won at Ohio State 63-56. Arizona continues their season from hell. They lost at Utah 83-76. Chief,
did they have a coach in trouble, right? Arizona?
Yeah, Sean Miller was heavily, well, I think his assistant is like fired and they pinned the blame on him, but Sean Miller was mentioned with that big FBI case that Kevin's talked about on the show.
Did that allow people to leave the program or not? Did it get that bad?
Did they lose scholarships, or I can't remember what the punishment was.
I don't know that the NCAA has done anything yet with them.
Yeah, I don't think they have.
Okay, so sometimes if a coach or somebody gets spanked bad enough, don't they let the people they recruit leave the program without penalty of a year sitting? Or they didn't do that, did they?
Well, Arizona's on the one-and-done model anyway, so all their good players left.
Or didn't
including the number one overall pick, DeAndre Ayton, who got drafted by the Suns, number one overall. They lost a lot of guys off a really good team last year, and then all the turmoil surrounding the program may have affected recruiting. I don't know. I think they've made the tournament something like 30 of the last 31 years or something crazy like that, and they're not going to make the tournament this year unless they get hot and win their conference tournament.
What do you guys...
Hey, before you get off of that, too, back on Illinois, they hired Brad Underwood as their head coach from Stephen F. Austin. And I remember Stephen F. Austin from the tournament a few years ago because they gave Notre Dame all he could handle. And Notre Dame made it to the regional finals that year, but they could easily have lost to Stephen F. Austin along the way. That guy's teams know how to play basketball, and he's really made a lot of progress over the course of the season at Illinois. I've tuned in on him. I haven't sat and watched a whole Illinois game since they played here in South Bend early in the season. But every time I look in for 5 or 10 minutes, I can see that they know how to play basketball as a team a little bit more than they ever did. And I think that only bodes well for Illinois.
Well, no one wants to play them now. They've won 4 straight in the conference, and even though they have a really bad overall record at 10-15, they're now 6-8 in the Big Ten, which is this year the number one conference in net ranking in the country. And no one wants to play them. The way they're playing right now, they could actually finish above 500 in the conference and below 500 overall.
Yeah, and that's it's a team that had some talent. When I saw them, it's not like they didn't have guys with ability. They just didn't. They were kind of clueless about how to play team basketball.
I have two questions for you.
But not so much anymore.
Two questions regarding people's pocketbooks for you, Mavens, because this one's on right up Matty Weber's alley, which he doesn't even know that yet. But I was get the big quiz last night from my Fed guys.
regarding this retail sales number in December, which is down 1.2, after seemingly everybody thought it was going to be a huge number. I never seemed to have gotten caught with the fever of this Christmas. I didn't think this Christmas did that well. I mean, they were hyping about the online stuff, but the amount of sales and stuff that were being hurled at me online after 2 weeks of the season, I'm thinking these guys can't be doing that well. They're almost panicking. But anyway, the number came in minus 1.2 as opposed to being positive. And everybody in the world now is convinced that it's either wrong or some kind of an outlier. What the hell happened? Two questions. It seems to conflict dramatically with the Visa and MasterCard numbers, Manny, which maybe you know more about than me. How could both of them be true? Could Visa and MasterCard numbers show a positive and the actual number be negative? And secondly, what piece of that do you think gift cards are a part of? Anything? The people bought a lot of gift cards and they're just not being used yet? No, because you don't count them until you buy them. I'm not enough of a shopper to know, but maybe you guys can help me here, because I really didn't have an answer for my buddies last night, and it's unusual for me not to have some answer, right or wrong. Maddie, you know
what? Well, I guess that little bit of dead air says no, we don't have answers either.
Yeah.
I would speculate a little bit that when you start to get overly enthusiastic about the online sales numbers, which are much more quickly available than store numbers, that you're not recognizing how much of the online stores, the online shopping is cannibalizing in-store sales. So I would speculate that that's part of it. I would at least want to go down that road and see if that is the case. Because it would not surprise me at all to learn that that just stores in general got crushed and the online did just fine.
Because it seems like down over 1% is a real thud number. It's not like you were expecting up 0.2 and it came in 0.1 or even. I mean, down 1.2 is a really bad month. How could the numbers conflict that much with Visa and MasterCard, Manny? I guess that's what I'm fishing for.
What were the numbers with Visa and MasterCard? I missed the first part.
MasterCard, I'm sure you probably, MasterCard said they had like a bang-up Christmas. It was up like a bunch from the year before.
What does that mean? That people are carrying more debt? What does MasterCard
mean? Transactions, amount per transaction, that kind of stuff.
I don't think credit card companies celebrating is necessarily a great thing, right?
No, what I'm saying is their numbers come out fast. So, in other words, say Thanksgiving to the next Thursday. If the credit card company comes out and says, last year there were 20 million transactions and this year there's 22, and oh, by the way, it's 2% more per transaction, it would lead you to believe that Christmas sales are going pretty good. Why wouldn't it?
Well, it would lead me to believe otherwise. It would lead me to believe that people don't have as much money, so they're using credit cards, and maybe they're not spending as much, even though the transactions are up, because they're putting themselves in more debt.
Well, I mean,
Except that also keep in mind that MasterCard is the predominant debit card. So I'd have to see how they split out credit versus debit on that.
That's a good point.
Debit is essentially a cash purchase.
Yeah, that's a good point. And my debit card is Visa, so Visa is the same thing.
Yeah. But I think in the world, more for whatever reason, MasterCard has made more inroads in the debit card market than Visa. So they're both out there and they're both significant. But Master might be the better gauge for that one.
Well, I mean, it just appears to most people that the numbers are conflicting. That every number up till now, be it the credit card sales, be it Fannies in the buildings, everything seems to be positive via last year, and that this number comes out and it's negative. It just doesn't seem to match, I guess. So what I'm asking you guys is, how could it be correct and still not match is really the question.
Yeah, have to dig in and see, see what they have to say, because I want to see, okay, what are the credit transactions, what are the debit transactions, and what are what are in stores versus online, and which online's thrived? Was it all Amazon thriving and places like Etsy got nothing? I don't know what to make of it on a raw number. I don't think that tells you much.
Well, it could be just on the high end, too, because this is just a full number. I mean, you know, there weren't as many, you know, diamond brooches sold. I mean, right? I mean, it could be high ends, but I think...
Well, it could be that, and that people were buying big-ticket consumer electronics online more. That's possible, but they said both transaction count and ticket was up. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what everybody thought was going on listening to the credit card companies. And so that's, and this number,
then the question I would ask about that is, okay, lots of little stuff and then a few big things. Again, it's the mix. You know, if you start looking at the distribution of it, you might find a funny skew towards the high end and the low end.
But it was a 30 to 35 point spoo surprise yesterday during the show when the number came out. I mean, it was during our 7:30 break. Anyway, the other question is...
Sounds like a good name for a rock band or maybe a racehorse, yeah. Spoo Surprise.
Yeah, Spoo Surprise. The other one is, what do you guys make of this Amazon basically telling New York to bleep off, and all the people who bought all this property in anticipation of being there are, let's just say Valentine's Day was not a good night for them last night. And some people were really getting stiffed. Which, you know, I mean, when you
I can tell you that Carl Denninger wrote a piece about it this morning, so he's all fired up about it, so we'll talk to him about it in about 15 minutes.
Hey, this is all, in keeping with my, the law doesn't apply to everybody equally, and maybe people will say it never did, but I think we're getting too far away from it being
shocked. Shocked to learn that gambling is going on.
Yeah, yeah. My question is if you get a parking ticket, especially in this town, they will be, I forget the two guys in, I don't know how many of the listeners have ever saw Les Miserables. They are like the guy in Les Miserables coming after that guy 20 years ago. What did he steal? A loaf of bread? Wasn't that the deal? You ever watched?
Never saw it.
Essentially has to do with a guy in France stealing a loaf of bread, and the French, was it life imprisonment for stealing a loaf of bread, Kevin, or something?
Yeah.
And even though the guy escaped like twice and would get like 10 years, he'd be out and be like the pillar of the community. This guy would like always find him and throw him back in jail. I mean, he'd get out, but he kept coming after me. He never stopped. It was a lifelong thing for this loaf of bread. And of course, it's always done against his backdrop of this horrible economy in France and blah, blah, blah. And, in fact, one time he found him because somebody had a traffic accident with a cart or something, Kevin? And the guy, I mean, whoever this guy was like incredibly strong. So in the newspaper, he somehow caught wind of one guy lifted up the cart and saved the person who was under the cart. So he knew there was only one guy that strong and came after him after a good deed. You know, was that kind of a thing? Well, it's like getting a parking ticket here in Chicago. Yet, this Amazon thing, there's got to be, and I'm going to put Maddie Weber right up there. I'm going to say most of your ilk probably owes the state $1,000, $2,000 in taxes because of stuff you did through Amazon, and nobody cares. Instead of putting this schmuck in jail that runs Amazon for taking advantage of this and demanding the list of the top 1,000 purchasers from Illinois and sending them all a friggin' bill plus a penalty, which would help, you know, instead of treating you like you got a parking ticket like some low-class guy, if you steal big, it's okay? And so instead we're going to give this guy millions of dollars we're going to make him not even pay taxes to the state of Illinois, his employees, just to get him here. I mean, am I right to be outraged about this, or am I just being outraged?
Well, really drives me nuts about it is the long-term aspect of it, because we knew about this. We, society, anybody who follows any kind of business, knew about that advantage for a long time, and many of us, you know, were driven to different versions of online shopping, including Amazon, just because no sales tax was collected. So it's not like it was a problem that, you know, Amazon kept secret or that, you know, any nobody knew was happening, and yet from a political standpoint, nobody addressed it.
Why? Why?
Did Amazon have an unfair advantage? Yeah, but I'm not. I wouldn't aim my ire at Amazon as much as I would about the people who just let it continue.
Well, when you
were they paid off, or
no,
why didn't
it's like Amazon doing the Reggie Jackson thing? I didn't make the rules; I'm just taking advantage of them.
Right. Well, the question is, were the politicians paid off? Why didn't they do anything?
Yeah, don't know.
I honestly believe, Manny, in this case, this could be an infantile appraisal. I think if you took the top 1,000 people in the state, you're going to find Rauner's wife is on there, or one of his kids, or somebody, and they don't want to deal with it. It's them all in the dough. It's not like a parking ticket. Parking ticket is for other people.
True, but even if they had addressed it, you know, 8 years ago, I doubt that they would have said it retroactive.
Okay, but
just said from this day forward.
But I mean, it is interesting how selectively ignorant people can act, even though they probably aren't. I've had this conversation a couple times, and I never brought it up. But I'd be like somewhere, and it'd be a garden party, and people would say, "Well, isn't it terrific? I don't pay tax on Amazon." And I'd say something like, "Well, theoretically, you're supposed to." Well, no, I'm not. They don't take it. That's not the point. I said, "You are." Not only are you supposed to be paying it, but if it's over 100 hours and a quarter, I believe, don't quote me on that, you have to file quarterly. There's a form. And people look at me right in the eye and they go, "No, there isn't. You're out of your mind." I said, "No, I'm not." No, I'm not. I mean, I'm not saying you should or I do or whatever. I'm just letting it out there. And you totally bust people's bubble. Are they really that stupid? Do they really think that if you buy something out of state, you're not supposed to pay sales tax here?
That's always been part of it. Has always been the who should collect it, where should you collect it? Because if the store is located in, I don't know, pick a state. The store is located in Indiana that's selling, and the buyer is in Illinois. Who's supposed to pay the tax? Well, if you buy a car in Indiana, you're supposed to license it. They're going to catch you up on the Illinois side of the sales tax equation.
Right. But the rules are the same on both.
So I guess it applies to the where the buyer is, or where the even where the buyer lives.
Yeah.
But there was always a certain amount of confusion because if you, on the other hand, if you walk into a grocery store in Indiana, and take your, pick up your groceries on the way back to Chicago, then you're paying Indiana sales tax.
Well, you are. And
so, that's a complicator. It's not. It's not a reason not to do it, especially because Amazon is built on database technology, and database technology is what you would use to uncomplicate it. But it is a complicator, and it was always part of the discussion about, okay, what am I going to do about this?
Well, I'm sort of on a theme here, Kevin, and it's not the law. All right, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't be on this theme. It's not the law. Who decides who to enforce? And if it's somebody you like, you don't enforce. Our law enforcement people absolutely totally suck.
The same different version of the same discussion we opened.
That's not exactly my point.
Having.
Well, I'll get a little of this. It's private. Not private, but I don't mind. PTI Securities is downtown Chicago. We're licensed in the city of Illinois. Guess who comes in?
State of Illinois.
State of Illinois. Guess who comes in to audit us like 2 years ago? We're not talking about FINRA, somebody legit. Some bleep from the city is going to audit our purchases.
To make sure you paid sales tax.
You're
going to
do it. So get a load of this. At the time, I had a chiropractor.
By the way, every city and state does that.
Okay, but but compare this to the lack of enforcement on Amazon. Okay, so every week, since I come back from I live out in Orland, I come back and I stop at the Walmart, essentially in the hell's the name of the town. So it's on Joliet Road and LaGrange Road, whatever the town is, but it's not Chicago, some wacko name. And I stop at Sam's and I would get stuff for the office, some food, some pop and stuff, coffee in case clients come in, that kind of thing. And I'd spend whatever, a couple hundred bucks a week or every other week. We're not talking major crap here, Kevin. So they come in and they go, "Wait a minute, why?"
You owe city sales tax on that.
Yeah, why are you going to the Sam's Club and wherever this place is, Hopkins. What do you mean? Why? It's on the way home.
Hodgkins.
And what's on the way home? Well, you're using it, doing that to get rid of. But there's a, thank God for Sam's Club is they, you can go online and you can, by your card, you can figure out how much is food versus other. And evidently food is exempted and you got a $2,000. And obviously they're concerned with somebody going to Hodgkin's and buying 25 computers and not paying them here in Chicago and not paying the percent and a half tax or whatever. Well, it turns out if you took the food out, and some of the stuff that didn't count as, candy doesn't count as food. It gets you into this whole bizarre world you never even knew existed. You know the only candy that, that doesn't count as candy? Is a Kit Kat, because it's more of a cookie. I mean, you start walking, you sit there and people actually dream this stuff up that we pay. So they're gonna get us, but it turns out, other than food, I spent $1,990 or something. Well, there's a $2,000 grace. So after this guy spent 2 days here, he was all pissed off. We were actually $10 under the thing, and he let us go. We were innocent. Yeah, you could walk in any house on the Gold Coast and say, what did you buy from Amazon the last year? And you're going to get a winner. Yet for some reason, we don't do that. Now, my question, Kevin, is why? Why do some things we follow somebody to the end of the earth? Are we afraid to get Rauner's daughter or Pritzker's wife? Or what are we afraid of?
I think
of?
They're paid off.
By Amazon?
Yes.
It could be. Well, that'll work. I mean, it's not like it's the first time in Illinois. But, I mean, it's nationwide.
Yeah, so there's your question is go look at campaign contributions.
But they do in every single state? Because every nobody,
yes, they okay. have. I'm sure they have
yeah.
It's the biggest company in the world. I'm sure they okay, have well, a national lobby, and they pay off everything.
Well, now you're into my point about how the Constitution did not anticipate something that could pay off people in every state. No individual ever could. So the Constitution never really anticipated big corporations, even though some of the Supreme Court justices seem to think it did. Am I right, Kevin? How could it possibly?
Well, that may be, but actually, I, in general, find that the Constitution, in a broad brush way, pretty much adequately covers everything. It's general guidance. That's part of the beauty
of it is that
it's so brief. That it has that, but your question is then, what legal construct fits into it. But I would also say then if the Constitution didn't anticipate it, then you have to amend it.
Well, you're not going to do it.
What drives me nuts is when we say, well, it didn't, the Constitution didn't anticipate this, therefore, we have to bend it a little bit.
All right. Well, let me say this.
I think that's a dangerous place to be.
The problem I have with that, and we only have a minute, is that you're pissing upstream. The idea that somebody has gotten so powerful that they can essentially pay off all 535 people in Congress, which you could never anticipate an individual could, because an individual doesn't last long enough, especially in those days. That now all of a sudden somebody does, the chances of that amendment going through, if the amendment is to curb somebody who has amassed so much power, the chances of the amendment become zero, in my mind.
Yeah, and I don't agree with you, of course.
I
do think that if you want to amend the Constitution and you can make a case for it, that it's something that you and I vote to either either thumbs up or thumbs down. And we can be persuaded just like we can be persuaded
vote
for senator.
Let's put this on the agenda next Wednesday, and I'll kick your ass on this one because I mean
no, you won't
because you're going to tell me that I can count on the 50 aldermen in Chicago to vote to have only 35. I don't think I can count on that.
Well, I don't think you can count on that either. But I do think that that you can count on. That if we take the time to do this, which we don't,
right?
If we can get ourselves out of soundbite world, then we can, I don't think the American public. Sometimes I think the American public's really stupid. Other times I don't think it's as stupid as we make it out.
I would agree with that.
Are you saying, Chief, it's like the two foxes and a chicken voting on what's for dinner?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean. If the problem is that all 100 senators got a check from one company. The chance of those 100 senators voting for an amendment that can't happen ever again, I think is pretty a pie in the sky. Kevin, we'll talk about it next week, though, buddy. By the way, it's another one. Another one of those. I really do hope you're right. We'll be right back now. Spoon's up 8:50. We're rallying during the last segment. It must have been us. We come back with Mr. Carl Denninger.
I'm shocked, to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here.
Something happening here.
Well, welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Carl Denninger of MarketTicker.com. SP Futures up 7.
Close. Market-ticker.org.
That's close. That's pretty good for me.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Carl.
They would find it in a Google search.
Yeah, SP Futures up 750. NASDAQ Futures up 23. What is it about my feeble brain that I can remember some story that hits close to home, and somebody told me 40 years ago, and I can't remember somebody's name 2 seconds after they... It's something that's weird. I don't know. Something's wrong.
More espresso.
I need more espresso? Maybe I need the espresso shot at the Dunkin' Donuts in the morning or something. But anyway. Kyle, how are you, bud?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I mean, you know, besides watching the various craziness in both markets and the economy on the way to go over the cliff, you know, the bridge that is clearly out, and we're looking at it, and we're still, you know, full throttle. Let's go. No problem. So it's all good.
So do you think more people lost, probably more people lost scratch anticipating as Amazon moved and people buying empty lots around Washington Park anticipating the Olympics, but sort of on the same principle, huh?
Well, but the thing is, when you really get down to it, those kinds of, you know, so-called anticipatory moves are nearly always bubble-driven scams of one form or another, because, let's face it, inside information tends to be the scheme of the day, if you will. And unlike in the stock market, it's not illegal to trade on that real estate. And just, you know, if you find out about something like that, there's, you don't go to jail for it. It's, you just make a lot of money. But when it doesn't work, of course, then the wailing and the gnashing of teeth comes, and, you know, oh, these people are so evil. They're awful. Oh my gosh. If you had inside information that Amazon was considering this as a location and you traded on it, why is it that you should be able to get away with that and somebody else can't? So
Manny, we lose Carl?
We did. I'll get him back.
For those of you who may not know, there was this huge all around the country thing that Amazon went from city to city and every city basically. To be gross, bent over and spread them for these guys. And the people that allegedly won out were an area right across the river from Manhattan and Long Island, right in the middle of where all the trains and everything come through. There's a, Carl, just give a little bit of the background while you dropped off they were going to this area in Long Island where all the trains and everything come flying in there. So it's probably, I'm going to say the easiest place to get in and out of in the different directions of pretty much anywhere on Earth, other than Madison Square Garden. It was on Long Island, right? Just across the river from Manhattan, correct?
Yeah, so Long Island City is what that, you know, the, I mean, if you want to, which gets, New York's got kind of a screwy, you know, governmental entity split up with the boroughs and things like that, so.
So they went from, I was mentioning it, they went from city to city and essentially got these deals thrown in front of them. And they selected New York. Sort of like, the guys up in Kenosha selected Wisconsin. Then I believe you and I talked that the same group that went to Wisconsin had bailed on a similar deal in Philadelphia a few years ago, in Pennsylvania a few years ago, right? Foxconn?
Right. And the thing is that there were, you know, lots of promises made and then, on one side kept and on the other not so much. And this is the problem with this kind of, you know, let's have a bidding war and see how much we can force people to cough up. Because when you think about it, what really goes on in these situations is a handful of legislators and policymakers, hand out billions of dollars of other people's money.
Yeah.
They force you to pay if you happen to live there, or at least they try to force you to pay. And they're not accountable when the other firm, you know, the other party doesn't perform. And it's very similar to the sort of thing that went on with all the unions in the 1970s that ultimately ended up blowing up Detroit and automakers, and along with a lot of other companies that were in Detroit. It's the same kind of thing that is now going on with the public sector unions, and they've been immune from the blowback so far, but they won't be in the end. And so, you know, now the bait and switch that went on with Foxconn in Wisconsin, which I, you know, at the time that was being negotiated, I predicted it was going to end up turning out terribly for those people. But what the people in New York and the politicians and, you know, the occasional Cortexes and others, don't seem to understand is that while they can attempt to obligate other people to pay this money, they can't actually do it because they can't keep you from leaving.
Right.
And so what ends up happening is the people who are able to leave, which are those people of means who have portable jobs and portable skill sets, they do leave. Okay? Who's left? Well, the people who can't.
Carl, let me set the stage a little bit of background here that hopefully you can help fill in. I don't think either one of us, Carl or I, are talking about if Carl Chief Inc. wants to drop, you know, 20,000 people a place or, you know, a building, move our headquarters to Chicago, and we want to be on the, say we want to be on the south side at 35th Street. We're going to try and redo, 35th is a bad example because the Sox Park is there, but say 39th Street, and we're going to take this area that's been blighted or whatever, and we're going to spend this money, and we're going to bring all these people in, and we're going to bring all these jobs. I don't think either one of us would say no to, hey, if we're going to put up these kind of, you know, places here, you got the Green Line running right next to us, we'd sure love a stop or something along those lines where you would put anyway if there's people. We wouldn't mind, you know, there doesn't appear to be an expressway, exit on the Ryan at 39th. We'd sure love one. It looks to me like you could build one here for, you know, because our guys are going to want to get off here. You and I don't think are necessarily, and I'm putting words in your mouth, are against the normal city conveniences that should go to anybody. And if somebody brings it in into an area that maybe doesn't have them, well, us bringing the normal, I'll say, crap to them. I don't really have a problem with any of that. Kind of, I mean, I really don't. I mean, obviously it gets to degrees. But some of the people here, just to show what we're talking about to the listeners, I think John Deere and Caterpillar got a deal where the people that work in the plant, their 4% or whatever the state income tax that they pay out of their paycheck goes to Caterpillar and not like the state or something. I mean, it's to the point where it's absurd. And I'm going to say, Carl, you, in this area, the first one I can remember, and I go back a ways on this stuff, and actually I know the law firm that did it. I'm going to say Sears moved to Hoffman Estates. He had to be like the model for all this crap, where Sears went out there and they promised those guys the world. And like you're talking about, the Sears people didn't, but they didn't have to pay to go to the schools or some weird story. But now that they're Sears went out of business, all those communities are suing Sears, saying we want our money back that we gave you guys because we never got our end of the deal. Is Sears kind of the model for this, Carl, or did it happen somewhere else in the country you know better than me?
Well, yeah, I think Sears was the model because, you know, that happened when I lived there in the Chicago area. And I said at the time, it looks good on paper, but, think about what's really going on here, all right? If you have the most competitive area by providing the best infrastructure, the best people, the best educational environments, you know, just generally the best, right? You don't need to hand money to people to get them to come and put up their businesses and operate there.
Unless you come from the not South Side school of mothering, that if somebody else does it, I got to do it because my mother never went down that road, and most people didn't either. So New York's paying, we must have to pay. That's what the flare up is, and then everybody on TV. Who was the guy, Maddie? Did we have him? We had him on the show, didn't we? Or we had an excerpt of his. The guy from Santa Clara or San Jose, and he said this guy Carl got vilified. He said we provide everybody all kinds of good services. We're not paying anybody anything different. The guy, you don't want these people in your town. He was everywhere on CNBC. Well, that's why I watched the most of Fox Business and Bloomberg. This guy, what a moron. Doesn't he know in today's world you got to pay this stuff? You know, you better wake up and join the 21st century. How much crap did that guy get? And you and I agree with him. I don't know what that says about us, Carl, but am I right or not? I mean, he said no.
No, you're right. No, you're right. And that's the thing is, why is it that everybody just seems to think that they can shake down the residents? You know, I look at all of this that's going on right now in this area, in the area of, you know, what Amazon did, the size of these deals, right, has just gotten ridiculous, and Foxconn as well, all right, because, you know, that's all part of the current modern era. Look at what's going on right now within the government generally in this area, and you can trace it all to Bernanke and Yellen and zero interest rates and, you know, $4 trillion balance sheets and things like this, because what it made it look like was that you could shake the free money tree and there was no price. You'd never have to actually pay for it. There'd never be a problem with that. And then, the truth, however, is you take a look at the monthly treasury statement that just came out, which of course was delayed because of the shutdown, right? So now we finally got three months worth of treasury statements.
What month did you get? I just saw the, I checked 2 days ago and they'd only come up with the first 2 months, November and December.
Well, no, it's October is out. So you got three. Because, you know, fiscal year ends on September 30th.
Right, so you're saying December's out. I only got two. I only got the October, November, and I checked earlier in the week.
Yeah, no, you've got all three of them. But when the first one published for October, I wrote an article on it because the trends in there were truly scary. But there's enough weird stuff that goes on across the end of the fiscal year where they will frequently try to make the deficit look smaller by not paying people until October 1st. Okay, I mean, you know, that kind of nonsense is very common. And so, I saw numbers in the October area, particularly when it comes to healthcare, Medicare and Medicaid, that, you know, my eyes just kind of like slammed into the back of my head when I looked at the tables. And I said, there's got to be some game playing that was in there. And there was, but not nearly as much as I thought. Now we have 3 months, and, you know, of course, you can't keep doing that because people will not continue to work if they don't get paid.
Yeah.
And the numbers are as bad as they looked. We have Medicare right now that is only 25% funded on a current account basis.
Well, the first 2 months, wasn't the deficit $100 billion more than last year?
Well, yeah, it's $380 billion for now for the first 3 months. So you're talking about, now remember, April will be a positive month because right. That's when everybody has to pay their taxes, right?
And October usually is too for that reason. I mean,
but April will be a positive month, and then you got January because that's when the 1120s go in. So there are distortions in this, but the thing that's interesting about this right now is that you have $319 billion in cash deficit over the first 3 months. And when you look at what's going on, the Social Security and Medicare taxes that have been collected at $274 billion, almost all of that is Social Security because, you know, that's 12.2 and Medicare's 2.9, right? So you run the ratable proportion on that. And Social Security ran I'd have to actually look at the article. I'm talking from memory here. $20-some billion or $30-some billion deficit. So it's about 11%, 11-12% operating deficit, which, I mean, that's not great, but it's fixable without huge amounts of pain. Medicare, on the other hand, ran a 75% operating deficit.
Carl, as you well know, since you're on the show couple times a month, usually, and love to get you more. God, I'd love to have you every day, for God's sake. You and I could fight forever. I'm going to say that this is going to be, as predicted, not that I like to predict stuff like this, as predicted, just like the Reagan tax cut in 1981, within Trump's first term, we will see, when people see these numbers, just like you did, they will recoil in horror, like the world did in 1982, they will put forth a huge tax increase, I'm going to predict it'll be a big gas tax because of infrastructure, even though they basically pissed away the money that was in there before and stuff that wasn't infrastructure. It's going to be Medicare and it's going to be Social Security. It'll be three extremely regressive tax things, and it will keep like the Wilbur Ross benefits in there because he's Wilbur Ross. No estate tax. We'll keep the tax on the wealthy lowered from what it was. Not saying it's too low or high. I'm just saying the same thing will happen as happened in 81 and 82. I absolutely predict it. I don't see how I could be wrong here. Do you?
Well, no, but it won't matter because in order to bring the Medicare account, for example, just take that one out of it for a moment, you could fix the Social Security imbalance by raising the Social Security tax to about 7%, you know, each half, right? Lifting the cap modestly, say to, you know, 200-ish from 150-ish, or some combination of the two. Neither of those is going to destroy the economic picture of the United States. All right? I mean, it's just not. However, you would have to multiply the current Medicare levy by a factor of 5 to do the same thing. Okay, so you'd have to make the Medicare tax 15%. And by the way, that's from the first dollar of earnings.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, that's incredibly regressive, but that's what you'd have to do. And that's not going to happen, because now you'd have, between FICA and Medicare, you'd have an approximately 30% levy from dollar one.
I'm going to say
they haven't paid income tax yet.
They're going to raise the Social Security by 1.5% split. They're going to double the Medicare thing, and they're going to double the gas tax. And then they're going to see
They won't even get close.
Well, it's a start.
And that's the problem, is you can't – the only way to solve this problem is to kill the monopolists in the medical and insurance business.
Well, you and
the
I,
only way to do it.
Let's talk about that next time, just that. Because that clearly is, it's a cost issue. But I'm saying they're going to go, but I'm going to push back a hair on what you said, that if we start, first of all, I'm not going to debate you on whether or not 2% on the Social Security is going to kill America. I really do believe, Kyle, more than just about anybody, and I, you know, we have all kinds of people around the show, I'm the one I honestly believe, because I zero in on my, you know, 10 people of various spots in the economy, I'm going to say up to about spot 6 that we're at the straw that broke the camel's back number. Whether it's a parking ticket in Chicago, whether it's the garbage tax they're thinking up now, I think that we're at the point where there isn't another $5 a paycheck, even though it's only $5 a paycheck. I mean, we're there. I honestly believe that. I mean, I didn't think so 5 years ago, but I really do now.
Well, I tend to agree with you in general. I mean, I look at the debt numbers that consumer debt numbers that just came out, the auto delinquencies, which are at the highest level ever recorded right now.
And what was that?
We're not talking about minor delinquencies. We're talking about people that are 3 months behind, because that's the reporting threshold.
What was that number? Was it 7 or 9? It was 7-something, right?
Yeah, it's in the problem, you know where the problem comes from there. That's all been cost push nonsense, you know, $50,000 annual, you know, transaction values that are spread out over 8 and 9 years, and then something goes wrong with your car and you're 25 grand upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff like this that has been built, and again, the structural distortions that Bernanke and Yellen, along with Obama, put into the system after the crash in 2007-2008, led to this. And we now have a crop of legislators that have come into office over the last 7, 8, 9 years that all believe that they can shake the magical money tree and cash will fall out of it, and there's no consequence for doing it, which is why you have people like Omar, you have people like Cortez, you have all of these folks in there in office today, and it's not just at the federal level, it's also at the state and the local levels are doing this kind of nonsense too. You know, 10% property tax increases on an annual basis. It's like, are you people out of your minds?
Yeah. Well, I don't see how, this is the part that I have to diverge from the right side of the thing, because now that I'm in the middle, I can see clearly, Carl, the type of thing, or at least try to, which is hard to. I honestly think that both parties, I've always felt that the Democrats wanted to wing program after program at people without regard to how much it cost, and that was their big weakness. And the Republicans essentially want to lower taxes, lower taxes, lower taxes, and never have the real stones to cut the program. So they both, from different directions, get you to the same horrible spot. Just a different way of talking about it.
I completely agree. I mean, it's, when you get down to it, if you realize you look at pretty much everything that goes on in D.C., you see the same sort of pattern, right? I mean, like this immigration thing. Ronald Reagan, if you remember, supposedly, he granted amnesty to essentially all the illegal immigrants that were in the country at the time. He signed the bill. The deal was there would be no more of them. That was the transactional deal that he made with Congress, was that there would be a wall that would go up, birthright citizenship would go away, and we would not allow any more. We would put a process in place that everybody who went to work in the United States was going to be verified to be a citizen or a lawful permanent resident, period, end of discussion, and it was never, ever going to happen again.
Right.
Well, how's that worked out?
Well, yeah, when is never, ever going to happen again? I mean, I think so.
Well, look at what's in the bill that is now is going to end up on Trump's desk, and he said he's going to sign it, okay? There is a clause in that bill, another 1,100-page bill that nobody could read before they voted on it, all right, that says if you are named as a sponsor or potential sponsor of someone who comes and claims asylum, you are permanently shielded from deportation or detention. Wow. Now, what's going to happen the day after this thing gets signed is every single illegal invader who is in this country now that has family in some other country, every one of them is going to rush the border and immediately name those people, because not only will they get in, but it will permanently bar DHS from deporting any of the people who are already here.
That's interesting.
It's in the bill. And the only exceptions are people who are convicted of a small list of violent felonies or child exploitation.
Let's go back to the 1,100-page bill. How is it Illinois is messed up as it is, Carl? We had State Senator Matt Murphy on a few times. He said one thing Illinois has done is they somehow came together and said we're not going to do that. That they have that everything, every bill is on one topic. Remember him telling us that, Manny? That they pass all kinds of bills that are 20 pages long.
I mean, if he stuck to that or if they stuck to that, but I remember him saying that.
Why does the federal government continue? Is that because every guy gets to bury something in there or what?
Well, yeah, and the problem is there is actually a procedure that's supposed to exist in the House that says you may not pass, you may not bring to the floor for a vote a bill unless it has had 3 business days, okay, after the language has been finalized. So, but this gets waived all the time. Of course, you know, you can always have a vote to suspend the rules. Right? And that's exactly what they do. Is they write these 1,100-page monstrosities, they suspend the rules, and then they pass it. And the thing that I find so infuriating about this is that, you know, we have supposedly the art of the deal president, right? Do you think he read the 1,100 pages? Of course he didn't.
He had
the lobbyists in his office that told him what he wanted to hear. And, well, you know, that's kind of stinky, but I can live with that. This is kind of stinky. I can live with that. And oh, well, you know, this one paragraph here, we won't talk about that one. Just like Obamacare. Same thing.
How does the... First of all, I think Trump would need more than 3 days, but there's a nasty shot. Okay, I think I'd need more than 3 days, but there's got to be stuff in there that has nothing to do with this bill.
There is. It's all over the place. It didn't take me very long to find this clause, but I was looking for this kind of a bomb in there somewhere, and I just got lucky and stumbled on it, and then I found that a couple other people had found it too. And so I was able to quickly pull an excerpt from a tweet and, you know, put that up on the ticker. It didn't take very long. Then again, when Obamacare was being debated, I actually stayed up all night and read it, the whole thing, from one end to the other, and I found the Medicaid screw that was in there for anybody over the age of 55.
It was in there,
which is a 900-pound gorilla in there that is now just starting to bite people. And that's a state recapture. If you're on Medicaid past 55 and you're in a state that capitates Medicaid, and that's a lot of the ones that have expanded, the capitated amount is a claim against your estate.
Carl, we have 2 minutes. I have a question for you. I mean, we have to get you back on because we've scratched the surface here on some of this stuff. My question is, this bill, okay, I keep thinking at my Pullman days, my railroad reference. If somebody comes out with a change order or something, it has to go someplace. So if I decide I'm going to go with a new air conditioner and a train car, the first thing I'm going to do is send the new dimensions and everything to the guy who wrote the undercar arrangement drawing or wherever the hell the air conditioner is supposed to go. And this is going to have to filter its way through. Where exactly, in terms of in the government, do I send this 1,100-page bill and say, make it happen? How many people have to know, who has to go through and say, well, this page goes to this guy because he's in charge of enforcing that. This page goes to Carl because he's in charge of that. These other 40 pages we better send to the states because that has to do with them. Where do you even go with that bill? How does the thing percolate its way through the system to where on page 812, paragraph 4, somebody actually does what it says you're supposed to do?
It all gets in what's called being enrolled, and then it gets all distributed through United States code and the CFRs.
But who's in charge of that? I mean, does anybody read that? And does anybody even know it's a law? Unless somebody's in there who's supposed to be getting a check, he'll let you know he's supposed to get the check. But other than that, how do you even know?
Well, you find out when you get this thing from the Department of Labor or whatever, it says, oh, by the way, as of this date, you have to do this.
Well, so you wait. I mean, does half of the stuff even get forgotten? Does it all make it in the code?
Oh, no, it all does.
Okay.
It all does. And that's where these bulletins come from. I mean, that's how they happen, is that, you know, as of the effective date of blah, you have to do this.
Well, if you're the guy sitting in the first office where they drop it on your desk and say, make it happen, you got to be like looking at that thing from the side going, these guys can't be serious. I mean,
it gets split up into the different agencies. But, yeah, you wonder why we have all these people that we supposedly need in the government. Well, there's your answer.
Oh, God. Carl, we'll have you back on, buddy. As usual, good stuff. Take care of yourself. And I will tweet out that thing you wrote yesterday. We always do. Take care of yourself. SP Viewers up 775. As if he's up 23, Mr. John Neal, we come back. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Matt Weber on the floor. On the phone, on the board, on everything. Mr. John Neal with a second. S&P futures up 8.25. NASDAQ futures up 23.50. Dow futures up 70 as we, you know, continue to get a little dribs and drabs of the trade talks with China are maneuvering on. I guess they're going to continue in Washington next week, they claim. As to why they all got to fly halfway around the world, I don't know, but it appears that they do. DAX up 141.3%. FTSE up 43.6. CAC around up 74, 1.5. Just when you think we have this worldwide rally, no. Nikkei down 239, 1.1%, under 21,000, 20,900. Shanghai down 37, 1.4%. Hang Seng down 531, almost 2%, 1.9%. Those guys went the other way. They decline amid fears of slowing U.S. economy. Meanwhile, U.S. doesn't care about U.S. economy because we're going to be all good with the Chinese. Very strange thing going on here. Oil up 28 cents, 54.69, almost to 55. Brent up 41, 64.98. That's spread now over 10 bucks. Natural gas below what it was last June before the cold winter started. Maybe it's not been as cold as we think it has been being here in Chicago. RBOB 152 up another penny. So I'm going to say you probably saw your gas go up at least a dime in the last couple of weeks because RBOB has gone up pushing 16 cents. Home heating oil 198. The gold railing again today as well. Up 1320, up 629. Silver up 10 cents, 1563. Remember, it gets close to 16 bucks. It gets whacked like whack-a-mole, Matty, but it's making another run at it here. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Still off to a great start this morning on the area expressways. Eden's looks terrific. Kennedy traffic's building, but we're still only about 40 minutes from O'Hare into downtown, which is better than normal for this hour. Eisenhower's our slowest moving expressway, but no accidents in either direction. Stevenson, Dan Ryan, I-57, Bishop Ford, all looking good so far. No accidents or issues. No reports of slick spots out there, so that's great news, especially since everything melted yesterday and then a cold front moved in last night and we're freezing cold again. But everything is looking good. Only issue right now, it looks like downtown, not too far from us here in the South Loop, Harrison and South State Street, there's a crash involving a CTA bus that has crews on the scene there, and that has Harrison blocked at South State temporarily.
Man, if it stopped the show, run down and hop on the bus. They were hurt.
Yes. Yeah. I wonder how many people are going to do that.
Quite a few, probably.
And then I mentioned at Lake Street between Michigan Ave and Stetson Ave, that is closed due to a movie filming session that's going on that'll last throughout the morning and into the early afternoon. As far as accidents are concerned, though, we're off to a great start. Out in Elgin, Shales Parkway at Maroon Drive, there's a crash. And then out near Bolingbrook, southwestern suburb, 75th at Route 53, there is a crash. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, so it looks nice from your window, but it's actually quite cold today, going up to a high of 25 with wind chills around 10 degrees. Right now it is sunny and 14 degrees, but our wind chill puts us right at zero. So chilly out there. Bundle up as you head out. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 66. Right now it's mostly clear and 55. In sports, Blackhawks, after winning 7 in a row and then losing the other night, they're back on track. They blew out the Devils last night, 5-2. Coyotes were shut out by the Blues, 4-0. College hoops, as we touched on earlier, Illinois is red hot. They've won 4 in a row in the Big Ten and really turned their season around. They won at Ohio State last night, 63-56. Arizona Wildcats lost at Utah, 83-76. Chief.
So, hey, John, how are you?
Good morning. Going good, guys. How about yourself?
Good. Matty, we got to replay our pitch in. What? I'm funny? I amuse you? I'm going to tell you
I'm
one thing.
Clown?
This thing about New York, this is amusing the hell out of me watching this on TV here while I'm doing the show. The now Amazon to New York, drop dead, is one of the headlines here. And then
right, I saw that.
Funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Yes, this is amusing me big time. So now the government of New Jersey. Now, I the story yesterday was, and fill me in here if I didn't read the latest, is that Amazon said they weren't going to do the huge headquarters thing, and they're going to split her off to five or six other cities where they have big centers already, and just add people there. Because yesterday, all the news here was in Chicago that they have a distribution system here, distribution center here, and it's in Bolingbrook, Manny, I believe, and that everybody thought that the Chicago area would benefit from
right.
those kinds of jobs. Well, now this morning, now all the right-wingers are all over AOC, our girl.
Because she's dancing on the grave.
Yeah. And so now I'm going to say that it had nothing to do with criticism from a few low-level politicians and people that somehow this deal fell apart. New York didn't own up to something, or Bezos got pissed off with people buying land ahead of them, or some story here that something didn't ring true about this agreement. It's just my guess, because I don't think had to do with somebody opining as to whether it was a good deal or not. So all of a sudden, of course, the governor of Jersey now, shameless as possibly could be, business is open. They'll give them the same deal in Newark if they'll just come over. You know what, Maddie? You read this, you look at this stuff, and after I croak, if I could just, they put me, I don't know what the afterlife is going to be, if there is one, but if I could just sit on some moon about 90 bazillion light years away and just listen to the stories from here, you could laugh all day long.
What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
I mean, this is this stuff amusing or not? If it wasn't your money or if it wasn't so serious?
The desperation, right?
It is funny, and not funny like a clown, but
yeah.
Funny.
Right.
Just so we don't want Joe Pesci getting mad at us.
No.
But what I find interesting, so I was in the camp before the announcement was made that I did not want Amazon to come to Chicago because we can't afford to keep giving handouts to companies. And the tax money that it was going to cost the city and state was insane.
Yeah.
And I was like, what a horrible deal. Why would anyone want this? And I get that there's jobs involved to some degree, but I don't think it's a net gain. And if I was New York, I'd be happy. I mean, what a nightmare. And I'm a little surprised that that a lot of people on Twitter and other places are bemoaning this because, man, I thought it was a raw deal for the public.
If it was the correct deal and you could bring somebody in, the ancillary job. I mean, Chicago is...
Our offer was like millions
yeah.
and millions of
oh, yeah.
dollars
yeah.
of like taxpayer money.
And we're going to put them in a spot that's already crowded, and we already have gridlock. Try and drive around here. I mean, we're talking 10 years to redo the Barron Interchange, which is an hour out of everybody's day that drives through the city. And we have no plans to increase the subway system. We have no plans to do anything. Let's drop another 20,000 people somewhere. Now,
they're
other
building
parts,
a tunnel out to O'Hare, aren't they?
Well, yeah, that's such BS.
Well, that's supposedly.
Yeah, well, now, but yet we have parts of the city that are friggin' empty. Right? But we're not gonna do anything for those areas. I mean, there are areas in the city we could put 25,000 people and you wouldn't even know they were there. Right? I mean, how many people do you think used to work on the south side between remanufacturing Continental Can? I can list about eight places. The Nabisco.
If you're a 22-year-old from Michigan or Wisconsin, do you want to go live in Inglewood?
the Inglewood of today? No.
Well, answers your question.
But the Inglewood of Brooklyn is 8 miles out on the subway from Manhattan.
I understand that, but Brooklyn is not the Brooklyn of 30 years ago. I was in Brooklyn a couple months ago. It's beautiful and it's safe and it's completely different.
Okay, but now,
30 years from now, hopefully Inglewood's like that.
Let's not go to Inglewood. Let's say just yet.
Well, that's where you're talking about right. where there's space.
All right, just yet. Look at how much. I'm going to take you over a tour to South Side one of these days. Just look at the area.
It's been a while. I mean, you know, I've been to Mount Greenwood and Beverly a million times, but it's been a while since I've been through the tough parts.
No, look at the lakefront. Look at the lakefront between when you tore down all the Robert Taylor homes. There's virtually nothing. Between ITT, Illinois Institute of Technology, between there and Hyde Park. You got the lake on one side, you've got the Rock Island, and you got the Green Line, and you've got the lakefront. For God's sake, is there a nicer place potentially on Earth?
Potentially,
for anybody?
You're correct. But yes, there's plenty of nicer places today because it's a horrible area.
Well, but it's empty.
Well, yeah. Why do you think it's empty?
Well, because we tore down the project with the idea that we're going to have something there and we don't have anything. But what I'm saying is if you could start with
somebody has some kind of a software facility, could you put them right next to ITT? Yeah. You're right next to the university? I mean, we're talking where just south of McCormick Place.
Well, your point, somebody has to take the chance.
Right.
At some point to turn it around. And I agree with you. It's a perfect location. When someone actually does take the chance and it starts to turn around. But who's going to take that first leap? Well, obviously not Amazon.
But the boundaries are there. Because on the south side, you got the University of Chicago coming this way. So ideally, you would start it from both directions, from 59th Street back down to Roosevelt Road or 22nd Street.
It does make you wonder why someone hasn't taken that leap yet.
Yeah, there's not that much room there to fill in. There's a lot of room, but it's not like all of Inglewood. What I'm saying, you could start there.
I mean, Emmanuel listen to the show. Maybe he'll jump on it.
Well, no, but why hasn't someone done it yet, Chief?
Because,
that's the question.
Well, that is a good point. We decided to push west. We're pushing west now, not south.
Yeah, I know, but eventually you run out of room pushing west.
Right.
At some point,
plus the west doesn't have a lakefront.
Right. That location that you're talking about would be spectacular.
Spectacular.
If done correctly. And it makes you wonder why it hasn't began yet.
Look at the people who run this place.
Like I said, Brooklyn and Harlem and some of those areas that were crime infested are now beautiful areas in New York.
What about the Bronx around Yankee Stadium when I first went to my first Yankee game? You couldn't wait to get back on the subway and get the hell out of there. You didn't walk around there.
I've never been in the Bronx. I don't know if it's better or not.
Oh, it's way better.
I'm sure
it's way better.
Yeah.
And because you're looking at real estate, you look at the economics of stuff, okay? You look at Cabrini Green, you say, 20 years ago, I would have written, if I was doing a show then, I would have said, somewhere in the next decade, we're going to find a way to get rid of Cabrini Green. And I was going to say, how are you going to do that? It's public housing, it's CHA, it's HUD, well, they'll find a way. Because it's too high valued of an area to be essentially, people live there and had lives there and so forth, but it's too high valued of an area. You look at Harlem. 30 years ago, when I first went out there for CBOE in New York, I went a few times. I flew over Harlem, and this place is all, the street was all pitmobiles. It was nothing but drug traffic. And yet, you look at the housing stack, you look at the subways, and you go, God, if this city ever grows, somehow we're going to march these people out of here. And you look at Chicago, where we live right now, Manny. I can remember that being a slum. The only place if Jill and you moved downtown as singles. In 1978, you lived within three blocks of Clark and Division. It's the only L stop you ever used. You went to that Jewel. That was it. It was the only place you would ever let your daughter move. And then all of a sudden, the next L stop was okay, and the next L stop. Armitage, when Robin bought her place two blocks from us in 1978, you would have said, what are you doing? On the north side of Armitage was, I think, mostly Puerto Rican. And everything on the south side was black, and they didn't like each other. When you went to Armitage, there was where the Aubon Paint is now was a liquor store. The only other thing there was Big John's.
That sums it up right there.
Yeah.
Where the Aubon Paint was,
yeah,
was a liquor store.
It was a liquor store. Big John's was open because they did all kinds of, not for people at night, but they did massive tradesman's business during the day. People came in for beers and sandwiches, and they made all their money during the day. And the L stop. But the only time you went to Armitage was to take the L. Otherwise, you might see the Puerto Ricans on one side and the Hispanics on one side and the blacks on the other winging stones at each other across the street. And all of a sudden, every year the tradesmen's vans moved a block over because the area was just too valuable. You're 15 minutes of an L ride away from a nice job downtown, don't need a car. Same thing with Cabrini Green.
It's hard to believe because now Armitage is one of the nicest streets in the city and, there's some empty storefronts now because the rent is so damn high, but it's, beautiful shopping and boutiques and coffee shops and it's safe and there's plenty of different races all living together, which is great, but you're safe to walk your dog, safe to be out at night for the most part. It's a beautiful area. And you're right, it's 15 minutes door to door, from the L to working, on Madison.
I think that someday, somewhere, somebody's going to invent, or not invent, they're going to put the infrastructure in. The thing that separates the near south side from the lake is the IC tracks. We're saying so you really can't walk across them. It's somewhat. I'm gonna say that at some point, because it's all electric, you're gonna find every quarter mile there's gonna be a 200 or 300 yard expansive greenway sort of bridge where you can walk right across there to get to the lakefront and Lakeshore Drive. There'll be a pedway virtually every, you know, half a mile. And once that happens, that becomes
like there is on the north side.
Like there is on the north side.
Yeah.
Once that happens, you're going to find that area is going to be the new Lincoln Park.
Well, I think it will at some point. Just
you'll be around. I won't
because of the economics. It just has to. I mean, you look at San Francisco,
yep.
Oakland. There's Brooklyn and New York. Like I said, those areas. It's too valuable of property to let it continue to be crime infested. The money moves in, and like you said, it might be a block at a time, and it might take 30 years, but it's going to happen.
Well, you see where the
south side is just so huge.
Yeah.
It's. And I think your brother told me once it sort of is happening in certain pockets, but it's hard to connect it.
Right. Well, your 63rd Hostel, which is a wasteland, they put a Mariano's down there of all things. That was a mini loop. You didn't have to go downtown to shop. There was a Weebolts, a Morris B. Saks, a Sears, everything. It was the second biggest shopping area in the city, where the L ended right there. I mean, you didn't have, everybody had their store there. I mean, you have to come downtown to Weebolts. There was one right there. Because Weebolts was like Marshall Fields, not quite as nice, but they were probably like Carson's. And that whole area is down. I mean, there was these pockets in the city that you had stuff like that. But what I'm saying is follow the economics, follow the money. I mean, look at the IC tracks that you see. Those were right on the lakefront. The land was so valuable, we keep pouring stuff into the water and taking the lake. That whole FDR Drive in New York was part of the Hudson River. It was all landfill. So we've been taking in San Francisco. Look at that whole Mission District was landfill, right?
Right, yeah. And I was in Mission District a month ago, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to imagine
that was landfill.
We'll sit there and go, if that only wasn't water, guess what? We'll pour some dirt in there, and it's not water anymore. Duh. All right, Jan, markets real quick. It looks like the China talks are at least proceeding on some gradual part, so we're kind of up every day, even though we sort of sell off a little on the close, but we're in a dominantly positive time here. I don't know if we can pull the rug out if this thing. I'm going to suggest that we're so positive with this that if it goes through, we're up 3-4%. If somehow it totally falls apart for another 6 months, we're down another 10. I think the push is to the mistake here is to the downside. The upside, I think, the market's 80%. Covered.
I agree with that. And just to add to that, I would say that they're going to keep stringing this along with news, regardless of what the type of results they get with China, just to keep propping this up.
Well, I think that's when in doubt, keep your assets propped up, because that's where the real people have their money, and my clients. So it's not like this rally, Jan, I've gotten
not a bad thing for us, but right.
I've gotten a slew more of new clients in the last 2 weeks, more than I have in years. And,
right,
and I am in most of the portfolios that have come in. And by the way, if you want to come in, you better chop because we're pretty busy. Not that we can't handle a few more, but now would be the time. And everybody's going in the Protected Index program. But some of these portfolios, Jan, people have 30 and 40 stocks, and why do you have this one? I don't know. Well, some guy bought it for me two brokers ago, and I, well, do you even know what they do? No. Should I sell it? I don't know. If you want to. I'm like, there's no protection, there's no anything. So I really have been blessed. The big guy upstairs finally really blessed the idea that we've stayed positive for this whole part of the new year, sort of. While for some reason I'm getting all these new clients for Wall Street or for our advisory firm, the fact that I can't imagine if we'd have gone down 20%, a lot of these guys were defenseless, Jen. But I'll tell you what, last week or 2 weeks ago, I started putting the money to work. I was very bullish in that I bought puts, a little out of the money. And I gave, a lot of room for calls. I zeroed in the QQQ like you and I talked about on the air. We both sort of selected it ourselves. And now all of a sudden, though, I'm putting people in now. It's 8 points higher. I'm real tight with the puts, and I'm only selling the calls a couple of points out. I think we've seen a kind of a, I'll continue to roll the calls up if I have to, but I don't know that I got to give the Qs 8 points here like I did 2 weeks ago.
Right. No, I'm a lot tighter. I totally agree with you, Tom. I'm a lot tighter on my options, too.
I mean, if they run up and we got to fight it for a couple of months rolling it, it's a nice problem to have. You know, I'd rather just be right, but if we have to roll up, we'll be okay. I mean, I honestly don't see, all of a sudden we're up, 20% from here in April. I mean, maybe it could always happen, but it seems like we've anticipated this to the upside pretty damn dramatically here. I mean, we're past two thirds back, so we're past the Fibonacci spot. Not that I'm a big Fibonacci guy, but I mean, 3 weeks ago I thought our risk was to the upside. Now I'm not so sure the risk isn't to the downside. I mean, I think I'm kind of struggling putting money up here, but even though I did a bunch yesterday, I did a couple million bucks yesterday worth. I'm really making sure I get every penny on the transaction. I just don't quite feel the same as I did 2 weeks ago. But still, I don't mind being in here because the puts aren't so bad. You know?
Well, exactly.
I'm getting real close to wanting to buy a few extra puts. I'm not there yet, but I'm almost, it's percolating up, from my left foot or something. You know, Chief, you're almost at the spot where you might want to buy 10 or 20% more puts just in case. Not quite there yet, John. If the China deal next week happens and we run up another 2 or 3 or 4 or 5%, I think the people I put in then, I might buy a couple extra sneaky puts. Just saying.
Right. No, I agree with you there. That's kind of one of the things. If we get some kind of a resolution there, have our big pop from that, what else is there that could keep propping us up once it filters through the markets? And, I agree with you there. That's kind of what I'm waiting for. That, kind of last big pop up, then I'm going to, I'm not exactly double down, but I'm gonna add to my put positions for these folks.
What do you make of the FedEx and the UPS getting clobbered this morning? They're down. I didn't read any news on those. But one thing I want to run by you, because I was getting the third degree last night, and we sort of covered this a little bit earlier with Kevin and Maddie, that retail sales number, talk about an outlier. I mean, everything else was pointing to Visa numbers, the MasterCard numbers, everything anecdotal was pointing to this really big Christmas, and all of a sudden this 1.2%, which is a real big number to the downside, retail sales December comes out yesterday morning, and it kind of hit with a thud. It turned the market probably 20 spook points. Now, last night, my Fed guys are saying, what is it? Is it an outlier? Is it just a bad number? Is it real? Are all the numbers wrong? What do you make of it? I honestly don't know. I mean, I think it might be real. I wonder how much the gift cards have to do with it, because you don't count those.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a big retail expert, but I never believed the hype of the Christmas season. Maybe it was when I saw the MasterCard announcements about, increased number of transaction and increased the average amount. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I was wrong. Maybe we did have a pretty good. Now, this number yesterday seems to agree with me, but is it just wrong? Is it just a screwed up number?
Well, I'm with you. Who knows as far as that goes? As far as those numbers go, but this is one of several reasons why it's definitely one sector I've kind of shied away from. I've got a few clients that, have a few select stocks of these things that they, really like for one reason
which,
or another.
Which ones are those that they like?
This is off my radar,
Which ones that have been, there are people that are really expert in that area, and like you, I'm not, sometimes our clients are experts in the areas that they look.
Right.
What do those guys see?
I have somebody that's in the industry that manufactures some things for some of these folks, and one of the big holdings he has is Macy's as well, and it's actually done pretty well. I give him credit.
Dr. J
put it on. I was kind of
Dr. J and Pete really like Macy's too. It's just an area I've never, I've never had a whole lot of clients that are in there, and you end up being, I'll say, marginally expert on the areas that your clients are into. I mean, and me being 19 years in the OEX pit, I'm more of a broad market guy. Obviously I'd love to buy a stock at 2 and sell it at 20 like the next guy, but that's just not my, where David, a lot of his clients really are into this, biotech area, because a lot of his clients like to hit the home run. So there's always information that I get from David and people on the air too, but that's his expertise. I know some of the oil stuff because I still talk to Tommy Shanahan from time to time, and he's an expert in that area. But it's just, it kind of, you can't be an expert in everything.
No, that's exactly it, and I don't claim to be an expert in retail, Tom.
But I would say that Dr. J and Pete agree with your client, because they always thought that that was one of the few bricks and mortars outliers that could still be a success. Obviously, you sort of have to like Walmart, to a large extent, because I think.
Well, I think your home improvement stores. People are gonna, go to those to get things. I think they're, they're not as affected by, this internet business. Ones like your Lowe's and Home Depot's of the world.
What do you think of this wacky move in this home heating? But we only got a minute left here. Starting out the year so low at 270, spouting up to 450, and now it's back to 260. I mean, if you'd have caught that ride, what a nice winner, huh?
Yeah, you could take that both ways, right? Because you're looking about 40% or so on each side.
Yeah, that's great. Well, John, no show on Monday, as you know. Obviously, where PTI is closed, both east and west. Have a nice weekend, buddy. Are you hanging around or are you going somewhere?
No, I think I'll be, hanging around this weekend and just do a few, things around the house that need done.
Good for you. SP Futures now up 11.50. NASDAQ Futures up 34. Again, China news continues to be good. Back on Tuesday, Stacks and Jacks.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.